We're glad you've joined us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We believe you'll hear a message that will minister to you and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Let's listen now to the message.
Last week was Vision Sunday, and we shared a little bit about faith. And I just got to tell you, for the last 2 months, we, the pastoral staff that you're looking on stage right now, have been really, really excited about sharing what God has in store for our church through the Word and our equipping, what we've been called to do, equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I thought today it'd be fun, and we did this last year, and it was I thought it was a great success, and I wanted to do it again. Basically, we're just going to have a staff meeting this morning. And here's why. Because this is what you're hearing this morning is how our staff meetings go. About what we're preaching and what we're doing and what God has laid on our hearts to minister from the pastoral team. I mean, this is just the kind of things that we do. We talk about it. And so as we've done that, I want to start out doing the talking. And then you've got three talkers today. So I am very aware of the time, and we will try to be aware of that and not abuse it. 1 Timothy 1:4. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussions of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of faith in God. Mindless speculation. I just love that word. I don't want to take your minds anywhere as pastor of Christian Ministries Church that just make you speculate on things. I want to make sure that we're not wasting time this year. What we're doing this year is calculated, not based on what we want, but what the Word of God says God wants. And so what we're teaching on this year, I just want to be careful that we always step up here with purpose. Yeah. We're not stepping up here just filling time or filling space. We have useful information that God has downloaded in us on how we can go live a life of faith. And today isn't just talking about that from an overview. We're going to talk about some specific subjects and thoughts on living the life of faith and what God says about it. Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. Now, we mentioned that in sharing the vision last week. But it goes on to say, anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Here's the thing. This verse is just, it was all last week I wanted to go on, because I'm just like that horse that's at the gate ready for them to open. I'm ready to go. And here's what just, God just revealed this in such a powerful way that I have a lot of my people. This was God saying this. I have a lot of my people who seek my reward, but not me. Let me read that last part again. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Yeah. We aren't to be seeking his rewards. And boy, that's a lot of what we're praying and we're believing God for. I'm believing God for this. Well, what you're believing God for is a reward. You need to believe God that he exists and that you're seeking after him. And I think we miss that. And it's impossible to please God without that kind of faith. An excitement of seeking him. And this year, we want to seek God. Christian Ministries Church wants to seek God. We get equipped at church to go do a wonderful thing that God has allowed us to do. And as I cast vision last week, I tell you, if you weren't here Wednesday night, and a lot of you were, Wednesday night, Chapman just, he shuck the corn, if you will. I mean, I don't know what you want to say. Hetty Lou Brooks would say, he burned the house down. He was just good. He brought fire, and he was talking about that, and I thought you got to share some of that today, because your thoughts and your vision for faith this year is just outstanding, and so is Mel's, but I want to hear from you first.
Yeah, she's okay, too. I really think for a lot of us, faith has to start with a heavenly perspective on our motives of why we're coming or believing or speaking out in faith. And what I talked about on Wednesday, for those of y'all that were here, you know, I talked about being a refugee of fear. And so essentially, we come to God out of, and again, we all have needs. God understands that we have needs. God understands that there are some things that we have to have here right now. So it's not that God's rejecting that thought process that we don't have needs. However, is it all about getting our needs met now? So then, okay, now I'm good with God now. And then the next time that I have a need, oh God, what are we gonna do? God, I need you. And we have to just be so careful that we aren't just coming to God based on the need of, will my need get met, out of a fear of, can God meet this need, or what am I going to do if God doesn't meet this need, and more from, we're residents of faith, and that's what I really spoke about on Wednesday, but it comes from, I think, a lot of people just have this really deep held belief, and on the surface level, without really studying, you think that fear and faith are opposites. Well, the reason why so many good-hearted, incredibly, older Christians—I'm going to say just old in the faith—why
did you look at me when you said
that? Oh, I was just thinking, you know, people that are in the faith for a long time. It can be a lot of different people. Mature. Yeah, matured. Yeah, that's a good word. That'd be a good word. Besides,
give her a mic.
Yeah, see, yeah. Wrong Laxton was up here. But the reason why so many good-hearted, good-intentioned people get off into fear is because fear and faith, I believe, have the same last name. They both are born out of the family of belief. They're both born out of our beliefs. What do we believe? So that's why it's so important that we are checking what we think, checking how we think, transforming how we think. And the only way that we can really do that is to make sure that our relationship with God is at the, like you were just talking about, yep. Pastor. The only way that we can really receive what we're wanting that's going to carry on to the next time, the next time, the next time,
yeah.
Isn't so much the need that's going to be met the next time, the need's going to be met the next time. It's, I'm a son.
Yeah.
I'm a daughter.
Yes.
He loves
yeah.
me.
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, to kind of piggyback on that, we really legitimately just treat God like he's some supernatural vending machine that we go to when we need something. And if you just imagine a vending machine and we've got blessings at A4 and healing at A5, and we just go in and we put our, we're looking for something and we get it. And then we walk away. And that's just not what God ever intended. He created us for relationship with him. That was all free. That wasn't even what I was going to talk about. But just when I think about what is shaping my thoughts going into a year where we're focusing on living a life of faith, I think about my own background. I was raised in a home where I was taught the word of faith message from a very young age. And I want to talk about that phrase, word of faith, for just a moment, because there are some people in this building that still use that. And I think that there are some people in this building that don't have any idea what we're talking about when we say that. And so I just want to talk about that for a moment, because word of faith belief is the idea that God still acts in according to our faith.
Yeah.
And what I speak out my mouth says what I have faith in. And so I believe that God is going to move on my behalf because of my faith. And if you have only ever gone to CMC or another Word of Faith church, it may not dawn on you that the majority of the Christian population in America does not believe that.
True.
They believe that God acted on our faith at salvation, and beyond that, anything he does is just a random act of kindness on his part, and he just picks True. And chooses who he's going to bless, and then the rest of us just have to suffer through until we get to the end. And that is not what the Bible teaches us. But we have a very diverse group of believers in this church here, and they come from many different backgrounds. And some of you come from that background, and you might not even realize that you come from that background. I mean, I've got people in my own family who won't pray for someone to be healed because it's if it's the Lord's will, they'll be healed, and if it's
Absolutely.
The Lord's will, they won't.
Sovereign.
Yeah,
and they just live God willing. Everything is God willing. God willing, I'll see you next week. God willing, I'll get a job. God willing, I'll have enough money to pay my bills. God willing, this COVID pandemic won't kill me.
I mean, good grief. That's
that they live God willing all the time. Here's what you've got to know. they act like they don't know what God's will is, and we know what His will is.
Absolutely.
God's word is His will. And when I read Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future, I believe that. I believe it for me. So.
Come on. That's exactly what.
But that's what we're talking about when we're talking about wanting to have faith this year. We're wanting to learn how to live in faith. And it doesn't mean that nothing bad ever happens. It doesn't mean that I never suffer, that there's never loss in my life. I never have disappointment in my life. No, we live in a fallen world, but we are not defined by loss. We are not defined by disappointment. And we continue to have faith and believe that God is good in spite of all of that. Mm-hmm. We know that we can have faith to expect to be soothed and comforted and healed and encouraged, strengthened and delivered despite the difficulties that we go through. And the key is not just to have faith, but to be able to stay in faith. Staying in faith during disappointment, staying in faith when nothing looks like it's going your way. So I'm pretty excited about this year's.
Man,
I'm real excited about this.
Just a little bit.
Amen. Thanks for coming today.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
That's where we're at.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times our definition of faith will come from a scripture that we don't really, we can define it in words, but it's really hard sometimes to get it in your head and live it. And Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Another version says it's the substance of what we hope for. And then it goes on to say faith is the evidence of what you can't see. And so, I mean, we've all heard that. You've been in Christian ministries. You've been in a faith church at any point in your life. And you understand evidence, you understand proof. I mean, evidence is proof. To me, I hear that word. Well, what's the evidence? What evidence do you bring to court today? What evidence do you have? And I thought, well, that's going to be my proof to know that I'm not just hoping blindly.
Yeah.
I have proof
in
what I'm hoping for. And then I have evidence of what my five physical senses does not show me. And so when we're going to live by faith, we're not going to live it by five physical senses. But we're talking about substance and proof. Well, then all proof we ever have is in our five physical senses. You go to court, they're going to say, what proof do you have? And they want you to prove it in one of the ways you can see it, you can hear about it, you can... All of those things are the proof that you're trying to bring for your evidence. I mean, that's your evidence. And Melanie and I were talking this morning about this when we got together, and she just had a different take on the word evidence. You got to share what you were talking about.
Well, first of all, I love Hebrews 11:1, and I looked at the Amplified version of that, and part of what it says, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced in physical senses. Now think that through. It comprehends it as fact. All right? So I think about comprehending as fact what can't be experienced by the physical senses. And I think about the prophecy that was spoken over our church last week. Enlarge your house, build an addition, make room. You will soon be bursting at the seams. And the evidence, okay? The evidence of having faith to believe in what that word that was spoken that is this. We act. We do something in accordance with our faith to show and to make it evident that we believe. All right. So when I think about substance and I think about evidence, in me personally, I want to widen that scope and I want to say, okay, but how is my faith evident? Okay, see, I can believe up here all day long. I can say I believe, up here all day long. But until I act and it becomes evident.
Right. Boy, that's great.
Then you don't know that I have faith
that's
to
right.
believe that. And the truth of the matter is, that's the proof of my belief.
Yeah.
See, I act on what I believe.
Yeah.
Moses, in Exodus 14, God told him he was going to split the sea. God told him he was going to divide that sea and that he would be able to walk through. But it required him first to act. And he said, raise up your staff over that water. And nothing happened until Moses took a step of action. And I believe that's what we as the church are missing in trying to convey our faith. Is people, we've talked them to death, but we haven't shown them with our actions.
That's
no,
exactly.
I believe this with everything in me. And here's what I can tell you. We've been through a lot over the last few years, and there's a time coming when we're going to have to act on our faith. And everything that we do now is practice for those moments when it's going to be required of us to act, to tell the world, this is what I believe. And so when I think about that, I'm excited about the faith message.
We can't tell.
Well, Romans says, if God is for us, who can be successful against us? So if God spoke it, I am going to choose to believe it and not just believe it, but I'm going to act on it because there isn't a demon in hell that can come against what God has spoken. The gates of hell can't prevail against the church, and I am part of that church.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
and
right.
So I know if God is for me, he's going to be faithful to me as I act in faith to him.
It's great. Amen. Well, and I think so often, just what you're talking about, Mel, it's the practicality of the spiritual. We take faith and we say, oh, it's so spiritual, it's so spiritual, it's so spiritual. And I'm not saying that it has nothing to do with the spirit.
Right.
However, we don't see it as something that can be practically applied to our life. And so where just as you guys were talking about out of Hebrews 11, it's not that I don't like Hebrews 11, but where the Spirit took me as I was studying and thinking about that same verse is Ephesians 1. And it says, and also you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal. So we get to that place and we talk about faith for a lot of people. We have enough faith to believe and then I've been saved. And then that's where we stop. However, what it goes on to say is you are marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Another translation says he's the earnest money. He's the earnest money, the earnest investment that's been made on the inside of each and every single one of us.
Yeah.
And so when you start thinking about that in application of your faith, what the Spirit does is he quickens us, he trains us. You go in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, the Spirit that God gives us is not the spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Well, you start thinking about that in the application of your faith, it's from those three tenets then that the fruits of the Spirit can begin to grow.
Yeah.
See the action that's required, the application of the word inside of us causes us to not be the same person from when I first believed.
Yeah.
The hope is that over time the fruits of the Spirit begin to grow inside of us, and although we're saved by God's grace, our deeds powered by the Holy Spirit reveal the substance of what our faith is built up of. Is it still just my own thinking about things, or am I letting the Holy Spirit come inside of us and plant the seed of peace, of patience, of joy? Are we letting love be birthed inside of us, changing us, so that I'm not the same person that used to bother me a long time ago. But now 3 years, the Holy Spirit's been working inside of me, and now I have different fruit.
Well, and I love, too, just the idea of the Holy Spirit being the deposit, the earnest money, but faith is the title deed.
So good.
Faith is the title deed to the promise of God,
yes.
And it all works together.
So good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we know what James 2:18 says, which is, you have faith. You say you have faith and I have deeds, but I'll show you my faith by my deeds. Well, I heard it said like this this weekend, and I just really like this because it just so applies to what we're talking about here, with being moved to action, when our faith moves us to action. It says, our deeds do not produce our salvation. In a church like this church, we're going to talk about how productive are you? What are you producing? What's the fruit? What are you doing? What are your where are you serving? How are you a receiver or are you a get? We're going to talk about that stuff. But if we're not careful, that becomes our only focus. Okay, that's not how you're saved.
Right.
However, though, deeds does not produce your salvation, but our deeds are the product of our salvation.
Cool, say that again.
The deeds do not produce our salvation, but our deeds are the product of our salvation.
Amen.
That being said, as we're growing in faith, as we're studying on faith, we're allowing faith to actually change us, motivate us, push us forward. And like I said, I'm just a little bit excited about it. It's just,
yeah, you need to calm down. This is really a staff meeting.
It really is.
Because this is exactly how it goes. And one feeds off the other, and we get excited about what God is laying on the hearts of us. I mean, we're just excited about the vision this year because it's how we want to live. I mean, I have watched faith implemented in this church time and time again. We've had different teachers that have led us in the last 18 years of this church's existence into an understanding of how to live by and operate by faith, and I'm more excited right now to teach on it and learn more about it than I was 18. I'm not living in the past. I'm living in what God has for our future. I mean, you're sitting in a building right now. I can look at it and go, this building was built by faith. I mean, there was a time that was just a concrete slab, and we had to believe by faith that God would provide the funds just to put the concrete down.
Yeah.
And we didn't know anything about the next season. We just knew it was coming.
Right.
Yeah.
You may not know by being able to look at a checkbook. You may not know by being able, but when God has a promise of, I've got your future,
yeah.
I've got you, I've had your back, and I've got your future. And we're sitting here live bent up like we don't know what's going on. When you start living by faith, you don't live in fear of your future. There was never a concern of whether or not there was going to be a building here. Why? Because we had outgrown the lower building.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough room in that, and we had to do something to go. And we knew that God didn't say, oh, I started you all just to mess you all up and just say, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
That wasn't his plan, and it's not his plan for your life. And this is hard for me because I got to tell you, my background, as some of you here, and I would ask for a raise of hands, but I already know most of you. I come from a Baptist background. And as a little Baptist boy, a little plump Baptist boy, growing up, I knew Ephesians 2. I knew it. Like the back of my, I mean, it was talked by every preacher I ever heard growing up. And by the way, let me stop here and say, I am so grateful for my Baptist background.
Yes.
There is so many foundational truths that has shaped who I am and how I live and the importance of family and church and so many things that the churches I went to instilled in me. But I didn't understand some things, and there were some things that as I got older and more mature, they may have got, but I didn't perceive it out of there. So I'm not going to put them down. I just didn't get it. But here was the verse that was spoke all the time. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Everybody knows that verse, and if you're Baptist, you probably have it memorized. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works. As Chapman's already been talking, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in these works. But you can't even walk in the works without faith because faith introduced you to all of this. Here's the thing. My perception was faith, a supernatural work, substance and evidence that's supernatural. It's not of your five senses. Every Baptist believes that. If you are of the Baptist faith and you were saved in the Baptist background, and it's not just Baptist, there's several other ones I could go through that are evangelical, that are very, very straightforward with the gospel, and they believe in salvation. But here's where I was. I believed in a supernatural God and a supernatural move of faith that happened upon salvation. But after salvation, people that talked about faith were cuckoo. That's my perception. If you talked about a faith church. You talking about all those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it people. Those people who just didn't live a life that was going to produce anything because they just lived by faith and that doesn't work. Although they'll tell you the only way you can supernaturally come into a relationship with an almighty supernatural God is by faith. They didn't understand the point, or I wasn't perceiving from them the point that from this point forward, you don't have to live by faith. You got saved, and that was the faith you needed, was for salvation. Now, past this, go and do good works as a result of your salvation. I agree with all of that, but it doesn't leave faith in your past. Now, that's my background. And here's the thing, as Melanie said, we've got a church full of different backgrounds here. And so all of you had something different, and you may have been raised in a Baptist church and say, well, that's not mine at all. Okay, I'm just talking about what I perceived through how I grew up. Now, here's what I can tell you. Chapman, faith was every day mentioned in his background. Melanie was a Word of Faith church, and it was the Word of Faith. Chapman was the pew jumpers. Okay, that just may be my perception of him. He gets excited. But the fact is, his background allowed him to live something and be taught something different. Here's what I want to be careful. We're going to talk a little bit about background for a second. But I want to be careful that we don't live forward out of a rear view mirror. I can tell you what my background was, but what I want to know this year is, what does this say? Because when I know what this says, then I can live the life of faith that God called me to live. Chapman, tell a little about yours.
Yeah, and exactly just what Ashley said. Like, I don't ever want to let the perception be that I just hate how I was raised in the church that I was raised in, because we that church in itself has matured and grown. But here's what you got to know: we were seeing miracles. I've seen people's legs grow out. I've seen people's eyes that were popped from a work accident be healed and come all the way back. I mean, we had no problem watching the miraculous. We were doing backflips in the aisles. We had conga lines going down. We had people that weren't in the band out in the congregation. Thank the Lord, we don't do that here necessarily. We had tambourine. I mean, we had it all. We was getting after it. And you'd get done with the service. You'd get done, and you'd be going, whoo! Church is over, and that's it. And that's my mom and dad sitting on the front row right here. It's not to say that we didn't experience the miraculous, but what Pastor Ashley's talking about, we had enough faith to believe that you're in that wheelchair, stand on up. But how you're going to live your life day to day, okay, you don't understand the tithe. You don't understand how to make sure that your lights are on in your house. You don't understand how to make sure that your marriage is being taken care of. And I'm not saying that things weren't taught, but I'm just saying that the focus and the emphasis a lot of times in the early parts of my upbringing in the church was, we're going to experience God now. And we just have to say, for those of us that come from that background, because we experience so many things, we have to be careful that we're not hungry for the experience or the encounter.
Yeah.
And what we have to be hungry for is the relationship with God. Absolutely. What we have to be hungry for is not necessarily a manifestation of the gifts of the ministry, every single service, over a love and a hunger for the foundational and the application of the Word in our life every day.
Yeah.
Well, the gifts... one of the gifts we were talking about this morning is faith that God has given, a supernatural gift, one of your gifts of faith.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I think a lot of times we think that can only be ministered on a Sunday morning or in my background at salvation. But it's an everyday life of faith that you live.
Well, I think too, here's the deal. I think that there is not a church out there that hasn't misused a message in some form or fashion in their history, not even intentionally. I don't believe people intentionally try to, you know, I think there's going to be a whole lot of people in heaven because of Baptist people. I mean, there's just going to be a ton of them. So I'm grateful for that. And I don't think that any church is ever perfect. I have said things from this pulpit that I later learned, I think I misspoke. I think that that's... not what that means. And I try to make corrections when I find those things out. So I think everybody makes mistakes, but I grew up in that Word of Faith movement, and I knew that God loved me. He had a good plan for me. But I think the key for me is that I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 11 years old. And that has made all the difference for me in my life. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and discernment. And I mean, I ran off the rails when I was a teenager. I mean, I really ran off the rails as a teenager. But I didn't lose the Holy Spirit within me. And He didn't just go, well, my work here is done and give up on me. Now, He didn't make me do anything, but I was always aware of His presence, and He was always drawing me. And so I believe that being filled with the Holy Ghost is just one of the most important things that we as Christians can Absolutely. Do because of the gift of faith that comes with that, because of the discernment and the wisdom that come with that.
Yep.
But I've seen faith misused in churches that I've gone to. I remember as a kid one time we had a preacher come to our church, and Tim and Stowe and I, we went to church together as kids, and he will probably remember this, but we had a guy come to our church to visit, and he just said, listen, if you've got faith, you don't need doctors. And I believe that was a misuse of the faith message, because I believe that there are some really God-inspired scientists and doctors, and I know in this day and age that's probably not a super popular thing to say, but let me tell you this. There are children who would have died at the age of 5 that lived to the age of 75 because God imparted wisdom to somebody, and they were able to be healed through medicine, through doctors and people that God has used. So I'm all about supernatural healing, and I believe in it with everything in my being, but I believe that can come in a variety of forms and fashions. And so for me, I grew up with that. I also grew up with in the era of televangelists. Now, who grew up in that era? I mean, we went through a rough patch when it comes to people in the public light who really misrepresented God and misrepresented faith, and they rose to great prominence because they had a great message that God wanted us to all be rich, when really their message was that God wanted them to be rich. But they really led some people down a wrong path, and they perverted the message of faith, and they used it for personal gain. And some of them then went on to suffer some very major and public falls, and it hurt the cause of Christ. It hurt the faith movement because it misrepresented. And they were money hungry, and they were deceivers, and the truth is they were kooks. But, you know, over time, we've been able to watch, because there are some of those people that didn't take a fall and that continued to teach the Word of God and the Word of faith, and they're still around, and they're still teaching and leading people in the right direction, which I love. But truly, when we hear about taking the Lord's name in vain, we think about saying, oh, my God, or something like that. But really, to take the Lord's name in vain is to use His name for your own personal gain, and that's what they were doing. And people still misuse faith today. People misuse faith by hearing from God, and I believe people hear from God, so do not misunderstand me. There are people who hear from God, but we deal with this a lot with people coming up to us and saying, oh, I've just heard from the Lord, and this is what I'm supposed to do, and they tell us what the plan is, and it just couldn't be a more ungodly plan. It couldn't be a more immoral plan. It couldn't be more in contradiction with the Word of God, and that's misusing the Word and the Word of Faith movement in our lives. It still happens.
Right. And if I could just one little thing just to kind of throw in here from the Word. In Luke 10, the 72 came to Jesus, and they were celebrating that the demons were submitting to them, and they just were hooting and hollering and all this.
Yep,
and man, the demons, now we've got them on the run, and Jesus said, really quickly, I want you to understand something. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't rejoice that the demons are submitted to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What Jesus is trying to say is, let what be what sustains you, the fact that it's your relationship with the Lord. Well, what's the most glaring observation from that? Jesus didn't end up with 72 disciples.
Right.
The moment that it didn't become about their ministry or that what they were able to do and get to be a part of, and it had to be about, here's my flesh, eat it. Here's my blood, drink it.
That's right.
Yep. All of a sudden, there were a lot less disciples.
Well, I think about it when I think, you know, there are a lot of people who believe that faith is something that you conjure up. And when we teach our prayer team how to pray with people, we're not conjuring something up. That's of the devil. We're standing in faith, believing for God to move on behalf for whatever need is presented to him. And we don't have to, I mean, I'm not saying that God doesn't move powerfully, and sometimes the power of God might cause someone to just lay out. That I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but what I'm telling you is it doesn't have to happen for someone to be completely healed. It doesn't have to happen that we're all running around and dancing and woo, 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 I don't know. We don't have to do that stuff. I'm not saying that there aren't times when something, the Lord might direct us, give us a certain direction, but we don't have to conjure up something. I had a woman about, I think, somewhere around 15 years ago come up to me after a conference one time, and she, man, she was a sweet lady. I wouldn't know her now if I saw her, but she was a sweet lady, and she had a word for me. And she presented the word to me that she said, you know, you have been having these thoughts and these feelings, and I am here to tell you that God says this about you, and God says this about you. And you know what? It was wonderful. I mean, she was sweet and kind and positive and encouraging to me. It wasn't from the Lord. Do you know how I know it wasn't from the Lord? Because I wasn't thinking any of those things that she said that I was thinking. I wasn't. And I didn't get mad at her, but the truth of the matter is she missed it. Yeah. And she wanted to encourage me. She saw me walking and something just said, you should go encourage that woman. So therefore she conjured up this word from the Lord, and there was nothing in my spirit that could bear witness with what she was saying. I thanked her. I appreciated it. But those are the ways that we still see faith periodically being misused.
It's true. Yeah. Well, the thing that, and I know we got to wind this down, and because we got a whole lot more I want to talk about, but welcome to 2023, because we have a whole lot we're going to be talking about in 2023. I mean, I've just as I started out, we're going to seek him, because seeking him and his face, then the rewards come. We're not going to be talking about putting our eye on the reward. We're going to be putting our eye on Jesus. I want the King of the kingdom pleased with me. And what pleases God is faith. And so we got to learn faith this year. It's important. And I've got 100 topics that I thought about talking about this morning. And the fact is, I really just want to give you a few things that we are all going to be teaching on this year. And you can look forward to these sermons. So there's just some topics that we're going to, here's one of the first ones that hit me. And this is the title, Faith Restoration. Because every one of us here can look back on a situation where we thought we were in faith, and then we didn't see what we thought we should have saw.
Yeah, we didn't get the outcome.
We thought that this was going to happen and this happened, and we said, God, I thought I had faith in you, and here's what happens. We start being frustrated at some points with God. Sometimes we're frustrated with ourselves. Oh, I didn't have enough faith. Well, that can happen. It can also happen that man led us astray, and it can also happen because it's a fallen world, and our promise was in something of the world that was actually a promise in the life to come. I don't understand all of it. I don't get it. But I do understand what the Bible says. And that's what we're going to teach. And we're not going to try to get out into some myth about, well, here's what I think. I'm done with that. I mean, Melanie has already, here's what I think God said. I already can tell you what God said. Yeah. So here's where we'll go, and we're going to restore some faith this year.
Yeah, it's really good.
That the enemy has tried to destroy you with. And so that's one of my titles. Melanie, you got a title?
Yeah, I want to talk about staying in faith. Staying in faith in the waiting. Staying in faith until the end. Which is when we get the thing that we're in faith for. And I've got some experience in this. I mean, you all look at my two 20-year-olds and my 22-year-old, and many of you don't know that I spent many, many years trying to have children. And it required a great deal of faith to stay able to believe that God was for me, that God wanted me to have children as much as I wanted to have children. And so I've got some things that I can bring to the table about staying in faith. And so that's one of the things that I want to talk about.
Well, I watched you during those years. Yeah. I mean, we worked together, and I know one of the things that you talked about this morning, and I just can't get it out of my head now. You need to do a sermon that's evidently faith.
Yeah.
Evident faith. I mean, that means you're doing something. There was prayer, but there was also a lot of work that they put into getting the result from God that he had for us that we couldn't see, so we saw it through faith. It's a supernatural.
Yeah.
Chapman.
Well, one of the things that our culture loves right now, and this is a word that our culture just really embraces, is authority. You know, that's a word that, you know, our culture just loves, and authority is so respected and honored. No, we hate authority. Our culture hates authority. Our culture hates submission. Our culture hates obedience to anything that is contradictory or anyone that is contradictory to how they want to live or do or think or say or watch or partake of or whatever. And so, as I was just studying the word, one of the passages out of Psalms 51 says, "You do not delight in burnt offerings, or I would bring them." Well, wait a minute. God's the one that tells us, told him in the Old Testament to offer burnt sacrifices to it. God's whole point behind the sacrifice was so that the heart would be correct. God's not just looking for us to do an action. God's not just looking for us to show up. God's just not looking for us to do the thing that we signed up to do and then check out and we're out of here. Or if it's my, you know, one of the things they were talking about was if it's not my turn to be in the nursery, well, I'm not coming to church because that's my day off. I don't have to. God's requiring something of us deeper than just our sacrifice. And, hey, we're good. I did the thing. So one of my sermon titles that I want to talk about, because we're all trying to understand more faith, and I think it's that we understand it's impossible to please God without faith. But as I study the word, it's impossible to have faith without obedience. So one of my sermons that I really am praying about and seeking the Lord on is obedience equals faith. To solve the solution of how do I get more faith? Okay, where are the areas that I need to be more obedient in? Before I start asking God, what more can you do for me? God, what do I need? What do I need to be obedient to you in? So.
Yeah, I was going to, I want to, and it's kind of piggybacking off of what you just said about being evident. Show me the evidence. We all live in Missouri. We're the show me state. Show me the evidence. And when I was thinking about that, you know, I mean, I know that I have faith for things, but the way I impact other people is when they can see I have faith for something. And so I am not going to have a kingdom impact with my faith until other people, till my faith becomes evident to other people, and I can become the evidence for someone else. So I want to talk to us just about how we become a person whose faith is evident. That's what changes hearts around us, changes lives around us, is when they can see it in us. Not tell them about it, not tell them what God's done for me, but when they see what God has done for me in my life through my faith.
It's great. Yeah. All right, I'll give you one. Go ahead. Last word.
Last word?
Yeah, because I'm getting ready to talk and end it.
Okay. For those of us that have ever had to be like to an optometrist, that's somebody that helps your eyes for glasses, for those of us that haven't. It's a big word. I always get a kick out of it. I always have a hard time not laughing when they're like, okay, which one's clearer? Number one or number two? Number one or number two? Here's number two again. Number one. And the whole idea is, what is helping you see the picture better? What's actually letting me see what I think I see? I thought that was an E. Ooh, number one showed me that that wasn't an E. That was a completely different letter altogether at the very end of LMNOP, okay? So in my mind, what requires us to have faith is to have the right perspective on God. And some of us are looking at God through the wrong lens.
Wow.
Whether it's something that we've come through, whether it's something that we've prayed
That's
for, like
great.
What Pastor Ashley's talking about. And so I want to talk about the goodness of the Father. And just talking about it, we know the scripture where it says, you know, if your son were to ask you for bread, would you give him a stone? Okay, well, if you who are evil know how to give a good gift, how much more do you think that the Father
yes.
God? And that'll just allow us, going back to that trust and our relationship with the Lord, it all starts there. We've got to make sure we're looking at God through the right lens.
Well, all of us are thankful for elements of our background, and all of us want to throw up on parts of it. So here's, I want to sweep it up and not to even think about it, but we battle that.
Yeah.
It's a battle that we face. Okay, well, here's how I was raised. Here's what I thought this meant. And we fight that. Sometimes you'll hear it in a sermon, and I'm like, I don't know that I believe that because my whole life I've not been taught that. What I want to do is I want to enter 2023 with a heart that's focused on the Word.
Yeah.
Let's not just give myths. Let's also not give, and this is one of my sermon title, let's not give faith in traditions.
Yeah. Don't be changing service, Ashley.
I'm telling you.
Don't change it up.
See, if you change the service, you had faith that we were going to have a good service until you found out, okay, this is not what I was expecting today.
Don't do panels.
And a panel Sunday, I'm never coming to one of those again. What you do is you start putting faith in the way you think it should be. It'll be good if I can believe that it's going to be like I want it to be. Let me go a step further. I'll come to church if Chapman's speaking, but he's my favorite speaker, and that's the only one I want to hear from.
I'm blaming you. We got to get out of that thinking.
The point that what I'm saying is we are so caught up on traditions. You know, we've had people come and say, are you guys going to hand out a bulletin? Could we start having bulletins? I grew up and every service is outlined in the bulletin, and you knew what song number to turn to. You knew who was praying here, and you knew when the pastor was coming up. And really, if it was too long, you had the option of saying, this is going too long. There's way too much left. I'm leaving. Or it gave you a real peace of knowing what was coming up. And then you come to a non-denominational church and they don't hand out a bulletin. I don't know if I can go there. Your faith starts being in someone.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the prayer team, which will be coming up as soon as I pray. And you've got an area that you need prayed for. Every one of us fought, I want so-and-so to pray for me. Why? Is your faith in so-and-so? But we got a whole prayer team up here that wants to see you healed, that wants to see you, that wants to get in agreement with you, with your. But we think that if we can get this one to pray for me, if I can just get this mess. See, what we do is we pull up the podcast and we haven't heard anything from this pastor we want to hear from, and we start reading the titles and we think, I need to listen to this because, and we start thinking that our answer is going to come from someone or from some teaching. What I'm telling you is we're going to be teaching this year, all your answers come from God. Now, he might use this avenue, and that's fine, but quit getting your faith in the wrong place. Not in tradition, not in superstitions, not in myths, not in that sounds good. What I'm telling you is God has outlined some promises, and we sang it today. Last song we sang, all my promises are yes.
Yes.
All my promises. God's telling us that, all my promises. Well, if you don't know his promises, you can't know what yes and amen even mean. So be it. I'm going to stand on that promise. What promise? I don't know the promises. We're going to have to talk about promises this year. There's so many things that we've got to talk about this year that we're going to live life by faith. I want to pray over everybody this morning. Would you stand with me? Thank you for being in church. As I begin to pray, I want our prayer team to come on forward. Did y'all enjoy us just talking about that this morning? I hope so. I hope you see the passion and the excitement that God has. And if you have a prayer concern, you have something you need to pray about, we have a prayer team. Just if you're on this side, just come up here. If you're on that side, just go over there. If you're like, okay, God told me, well, I'm not getting into that business. But get prayer. Don't leave here thinking, man, I just needed somebody to pray with me. We're making that option available. Now you have to step out in faith, believing that God's promise of agreement will come true as you come and have somebody pray over you. I mean, there's just a lot of things that will benefit and bless your life, but you have to activate that in your life. And this year, you'll have to have an active faith. And we're going to live it this year. Y'all ready for it?
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.